Swami Prabhupada. Raja Mantri Ramananda Bebohare Nipun Raja Priti Kahi Dravailo Prabhurman. Translation, Sri Ramananda Rai was indeed a diplomatic minister for the king. His general behavior was very expert, and simply by describing the king's love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gradually softened the Lord's mind. Purport. A diplomat in the material world knows how to deal with people, especially in political affairs. Some of the great devotees of the Lord, like Ramananda Rai, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Rupa Goswami, were government officers and had a background of very opulent householder life. Consequently, they knew how to deal with people. In many instances, we have seen the diplomacy of Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Ramananda Rai employed in the service of the Lord. When Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle were to be arrested by government officials, Raghunath Das Goswami hid them and personally met the government officers and settled the affair diplomatically. This is one instance. Similarly, Sanatan Goswami, after resigning his ministership, was thrown in jail. And he bribed the attendant of the jail so he could leave the clutches of the Nawab and live with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now we see Ramananda Rai, a most confidential devotee of the Lord, diplomatically soften the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, despite the fact that the Lord definitely decided not to meet the king. The diplomacy of Ramananda Rai and entreaties of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and all the other great devotees succeeded. The conclusion is that diplomacy used for the service of the Lord is a form of devotional service. Raja Mantri Ramananda Bebohare Nipun Raja Priti Kahe Dravailo Prabhurman. Sri Ramananda Rai was indeed a diplomatic minister for the king. His general behavior was very expert, and simply by describing the king's love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gradually softened the Lord's mind. This verse describes part of an incident in the unlimited pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who have studied Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita will be familiar with this. The background is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to live in Puri, and the king of Orissa, that would be Kalinga at that time, he was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see him because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought these worldly-minded people, it's not proper for a sannyasi to mix with them. He said that to associate with such a worldly-minded person, niskinchananam bhagavat bhakti bhajanon mukhasya parang parang jigimisho. No, I don't remember it. Anyway, the point is that it's worse than drinking poison for such a person. You're going to find it? Niskinchanasya bhagavat bhajanon mukhasya parang parang jigimisho. So he said it's worse than drinking poison. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was adamant. Even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's very close devotees, they beseeched Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that this king is actually a great devotee, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he couldn't imagine how can you expect me as a sannyasi to mix with materialistic people. So he was really closed to the subject. He didn't even want to discuss it. But Ramananda Rai was a very close associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had accepted Ramananda practically as his guru. That famous verse, Kiba Vipra Kiba Nyasi Shudra Kene Noi, J. Krishna Tatta Veta Shri Guru Hoi. That it doesn't matter whether one is a Brahmana, Sannyasi, or Shudra, one who knows the science of Krishna can be a guru. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this in relation to Ramananda, who was officially from the Shudra caste, in relation to Ramananda instructing him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Did you find that? Niskinchanasya bhagavad bhajanonmukhasya parang parang jigamisho bhavasagara. So Ramananda, he was living opulently like a king, but he wasn't a king. He was a servant of a king. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't find any difficulty meeting with Ramananda. Now here it's described that Ramananda, he softened up Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What's that verse? Niskinchanasya bhagavad bhajanon mukhasya parang parang jagamisho bhavasagarasya samdarshanam vishayanam ata yoshitangscha ha hanta hanta visha bhakshanatopya sadhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that for one who has renounced the world for the sake of worshipping Krishna and who desires to cross over the ocean of material existence, to see a worldly-minded person, or a person who is associates with women, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it's so bad that it's worse than drinking poison. In other words, better to die. So that's quite a strong statement. So Ramananda Rai, at this point, he is retired. He had an early retirement by the grace of Prataparudra, who was his employer. When Prataparudra heard that Ramananda wanted to retire so that he could just be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his whole life's engagement, Prataparudra, even though Ramananda had a very responsible job governing the whole of his southern part of his kingdom, large extent, which was down to the much of what is now called Simandra, this down to Rajmundry and beyond. But Prataparudra very happily gave Ramananda retirement so that Ramananda could associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he gave him a full pension for his whole life, which means that he gave him a whatever payment he was taking, which was a lot, presumably, he continued that. So Ramananda was living in Puri, Prataparudra Maharaj was living in Katak. And Prataparudra Maharaj was heartbroken. He was so unhappy. All he had in his kingdom couldn't make him happy. He wanted to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was against it. So Ramananda and other devotees, especially who has mentioned Ramananda, spoke here. He's speaking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's not asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you should meet Prataparudra Maharaj, but he's just saying, he's just describing how much the king genuinely loves you. So in this way, he's gradually preparing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accept Prataparudra. Because after all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken the position of taking spiritual guidance from Ramananda. So he was less likely to go against what Ramananda said. So this is described by Srila Prabhupada here in this purport as diplomacy, because Ramananda, he was the governor of the southern part of Prataparudra's kingdom. So a governor, he has to govern. You can't just all the time govern by order. Do this, do that, do something else. But you have to know how to deal with people. So, in other words, to be diplomatic. Srila Prabhupada writes here that Ramananda, Raghunath Das, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they knew how to deal with people. We hear a lot nowadays about dealing with people in a pleasing or just basically human manner. But here, Srila Prabhupada refers to dealing with people diplomatically. That means how to get what you want and make the person who does it feel pleased to do it. You can order someone, do this. But if you get them to voluntarily, if you speak with them in such a way that they feel inclined to do it, that's called diplomacy. So politicians, they have to be expert in this. Politicians, kings, one may be a very powerful king, but he has to rely on his ministers and soldiers and army. If he alienates them, they might rebel. And if the various ministers, of course, previously ministers were brahmanas and they were supposed to be detached, that there'll be the aristocracy and landholders, you have to rely on them to collect the taxes and give you a certain amount. So they're always trying to take more, and the king's also trying to take more. And they may, if they're not satisfied with the king, they may just gang up against him. So the king is powerful, but his power depends on the cooperation of others. So that may come by Shastric rule that one should respect the king as being Naradeva, God on earth. But if he doesn't behave well with his people, then they may just rebel against him. Ravana was a good king in one sense. In Lanka, everyone was satisfied with him. But he was a demon, and there are many people outside of Lanka who weren't satisfied with him. But within Lanka, everyone was quite satisfied. He looked after them nicely. Even we don't find any record of Duryodhana directly mistreating the citizens. So he discharged his duties as a king in not particularly a bad way, but he was against Krishna. So he was against the Pandavas more. So he was a demon. So this art of diplomacy, Srila Prabhupada says, that can be used in the service of Krishna. Diplomacy is generally thought to be not a very good thing. But everyone uses it. Everyone does it. It's not that we just say, do this, do that, I don't like you. But one has to deal with people in a manner that they feel satisfied. It is. From the beginning of life, we're treated to diplomacy. For instance, the child doesn't want to take the medicine, so the mother brings one sweet, the child opens the mouth, and the mother quickly pops the spoon of medicine in the mouth. She cheats the child with diplomacy. And from the beginning of life, there's a whole game going on between the child and the parents, and the child is always what the child wants and what the parents are prepared to give. So the child may know that if he screams, he'll get what he wants. So so there's a game going on between the parents that they're not. If the child learns that by screaming he can get what he wants, then he'll scream, whatever. If he learns that by screaming it doesn't necessarily work, then he won't be so inclined to scream. So from the beginning of life, there's this pushing and pulling, this kind of diplomacy going on. So that can be used in the service of Krishna, and practically we have to, because there are human dealings among devotees and others that's required. In preaching, for instance, we just don't go out and tell people, now you have to give up meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, and chant Hare Krishna and give up all your material desires. Okay, come here, take initiation. It's not like that. We have, in the beginning, not stress. We may in some situations, but in the beginning, when people are just taking some interest, we may not stress the do nots. We may stress the benefits, how you might like Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, his first initiates, he told them, they weren't even aware when they took initiation that they're supposed to follow all these principles. Srila Prabhupada practically tricked them into taking initiation. Afterwards, they asked him, what is the meaning of initiation? Srila Prabhupada said, you have to accept the spiritual master as good as God. He didn't tell them before initiation. There are many instances of Srila Prabhupada dealing very diplomatically with devotees, and non-devotees also. There was one devotee who was living in Mayapur, and he used to play his guitar. That time they were mostly all Western devotees. And he used to argue with everyone, and no one liked him very much. And he was more of a disturbance than a contribution. But Srila Prabhupada is generally very patient with his disciples. But after hearing several complaints about how this devotee is just so troublesome, Srila Prabhupada one day called him and said, you are a great guitar player. Why don't you go all over the world and play your guitar and sing for Krishna and preach in this way? And the devotee was very encouraged and he went off. So Srila Prabhupada didn't say, look, you're just a jerk, get out of here. But he did it in such a way that everyone was pleased. There are many instances. The infamous Mr. Nair, who thought himself the proprietor of the land on which Sri Sri Radha Rasbihari's temple now stands in Mumbai, was very troublesome to Srila Prabhupada and to Srila Prabhupada's disciples, because his policy, he'd done it with several others, was to take a down payment for the land and then not give possession. So Srila Prabhupada's disciples had given possession, but he was trying to get them off. So this was his policy, to sell the land again and again and again, to make some clause that you can make a down payment and then you have to make the final payment within such and such a time, and he'd take the money and then by various means, in league with various politicians, he would just make life so miserable for people that they would they'd vacate the land and then he'd take possession and then he'd sell it to someone else. And this is how he was making his living. It's this kind of thing goes on in India up to the present day. But Srila Prabhupada was determined to keep that land. So it's a long saga which is partially told in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. There's lots more which probably shouldn't be told. So there was one occasion where this Mr. Nair, he brought his guru to meet Srila Prabhupada. And, oh, actually, I think Mr. Nair had died by that time. It was Mrs. Nair who carried on the fight. So the guru came, and they were talking and talking, and this guru was talking all so different way. Prabhupada couldn't talk, and she, as a diplomatic procedure, she had agreed to talk with Srila Prabhupada, just buying time. So then she brought her guru, who was just diverting the talk away from the business at hand. So in the middle of all this, Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, I'm feeling very tired. I'd like to take a little rest." Then the guru thought, "Okay, I'll also take a little rest." So when Prabhupada saw that the guru was asleep, he called Mrs. Nair and said, "Hey, okay, let's talk." And then they made the they signed everything, and then they woke up the guru, gave him some prasad. Thank you very much. So this is diplomacy used in the service of the Lord. That means you have some purpose in mind, but you pretend that you're doing something for a different purpose, or you don't make it clear what your purpose is. So some kind of diplomacy is inevitable in our day-to-day life. It's just part of human dealings. We don't even know that we're doing a lot of the time. But there's also another word, duplicitousness or duplicity, which can be synonymous with diplomacy, but not necessarily. Duplicitousness means when you're deliberately trying to mislead others for the sake of gaining some personal advantage. Now you may say, well, that's the same as diplomacy. Not exactly, because in diplomacy you're trying to get something done, but it's not. It may not necessarily be for one's own advantage, as in the case of Ramananda Rai talking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was all done for the sake of Prataparudra Maharaj. You could say, well, he was indebted to Prataparudra Maharaj, but that was for bringing the devotee into the association of his worshipable Lord. So there was no personal motive. But if someone is duplicitous and they deliberately deceive others for the sake of taking personal advantage, just to cheat them, that is something very bad. When we're cheated, then we feel, oh, it's horrible. Why? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when eventually he accepted Prataparudra, but he didn't feel bad against Ramananda, that Ramananda has cheated me. Because Ramananda was actually bringing the true point, bringing up the true point, gradually introducing it. Now we may say, well, was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrong? No, he wasn't wrong. Of course he wasn't wrong. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was upholding the principle of sannyas, that sannyasi is not meant to mix with worldly people. That's a stricture of the sannyas order, which is within varnashram. But then above that is the consideration of bhakti, that the devotee should go to the Lord, serve the Lord. That's the same thing as the gopis of Vrindavan. According to Varnashram principles, they should not have mixed with Krishna, but they transcended those rules, or you could say broke those rules for the higher purpose. Now this has to be understood very carefully. It's not that the rules are not important. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to set the highest example. If everyone thinks, well, the rules are not important, then there's no Varnashram. And if there's no Varnashram, then people are not living a... people won't live at an even human level. And then we may talk very high things about bhakti, but actually our behavior will sink to the sub-human level. So diplomacy can be used in Krishna's service, but duplicity is not a saintly quality. Diplomacy can be used in the service of Krishna, but we should not deal with devotees in a duplicitous way. No one likes to think, I'm bad or I'm wrong. Mostly people don't like to think like that. So it may be that people who are duplicitous, they justify it in their own mind that actually I'm doing this. Devotees who may, people are supposed to be devotees who habitually behave in a duplicitous way, we see that they're not straightforward. They think that it's all for the service of Krishna, but it may be for promoting their own egoism also. Or maybe that someone's very straightforward, but actually they should be more diplomatic, because by too much straightforwardness, they behave very unnecessarily, roughly with devotees. So all these things have to be understood very carefully in our service to Krishna. How to deal with others. Everyone is an individual person. Everyone's nature and character is different. But we are to become purified. In the pure state, it's not that everyone will be the same, but there are certain qualities of people which characterize them as devotees. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha. In the persons of selfless devotees of Krishna, all the great qualities of the demigods, of all saintly persons, are manifested in them. They may be manifested in different ways. It's not that everyone will be the same. But although we may say generally the great qualities, great saintly qualities are present in them, in pure devotees, that may manifest in different ways. But the non-saintly or demoniac qualities, they all manifest in pure devotees in the same way. They don't manifest at all. What is their manifestation? Zero. They don't exist. Pure devotees are free from all bad qualities. So they may behave in a considered way with others, about how to induce others to act in a manner that will be beneficial for Krishna's service. But they don't behave duplicitously, that they try to mislead others so that they themselves can gain some personal advantage. Arjavam, that is one quality of a brahmana mentioned by Bhagavan Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Arjavam means sincere, honest, straightforward, not trying to trick others for any personal gain. Now, this Chanakya Pandit, he was a brahmana. But he knew the art of diplomacy. He said, Shatosh Shatyamate Acharet. That one should be, with cheetah types, one should also behave in a cheating way. Don't behave very straightforwardly with them. Although Srila Prabhupada sometimes said that a brahmana, he's so straightforward that He'll disclose what the enemy asks, even if someone acts with him as an enemy. He'll be very straightforward, and he won't keep any secret from them. Because a brahmana has nothing to gain in this world. He's completely detached. So he doesn't hide anything from anyone. But on the other hand, Charanaka, he recommends that one should adopt diplomacy with duplicitous people. Don't behave with them very straightforwardly. That's not a very good idea. So I just mentioned how Srila Prabhupada, some instances of Srila Prabhupada acting in a very diplomatic way. He was very expert in worldly dealings for the sake of serving Krishna. But the basic quality of a devotee is not that he's thinking, scheming all the time how to trick people, and but his basic quality is straightforwardness, innocence, childlike simplicity. We saw that in Srila Prabhupada, that he was basically a very simple nature, simple and complex both. Complex, if we say someone has a complex personality, it usually means that they have, what it means if we go deep into the psychology, it means they have many different material desires which they don't reveal to others, or maybe they're not even aware of it themselves. They have many different schemes. You don't know, when they're talking to you, you don't know if they actually mean what they say or whether they're just trying to mislead you, if they have some other purpose. So with Srila Prabhupada, it wasn't like that. It was clear that he was a servant of Krishna, and he was representing Krishna in this world, and he spoke about Krishna and the teachings of Krishna. So he was very straightforward. It wasn't roundabout. Now we may adopt some kind of diplomacy or tact in preaching, and Srila Prabhupada, he did that also. But basically his message was very clear, that we have to understand we're not the body, we're eternal soul, we're suffering in this material world, life after life. We should take shelter of Krishna, go back home, go back to Godhead. So we could trust Srila Prabhupada because we knew what his message was. It was very straightforward, very clear. And he wasn't tricking us or for the sake of exploitation. We often used to hear in the Western countries, oh, you people, you're just serving some big guru who's just taking all your money, making you work and taking all your money. Because there were quite a few gurus, so-called, in the West at that time. That was their modus operandi. They would come and talk some nonsense and make people think that they're great and take all their money, and they were living like that, living a very opulent life. But Srila Prabhupada wasn't like that. We were confident that he was using everything. Pranaya arthar dhyavacha shreya acharanam sada. He followed this principle. He gave his life, his wealth, his words, his intelligence for the uplift of others, for the benefit of others. So we were very confident that Srila Prabhupada wasn't cheating us. So this principle is important to understand, that we may use diplomacy in the service of Krishna, but we should also know that duplicity is very bad. That means that one has not actually become a devotee. One hasn't really entered into bhakti at all. If one behaves in a way to try to get some personal advantage, to try to promote oneself, and in doing so one will present things differently to what they are. So some examples are given in this purport. Sanatana Goswami, when he was imprisoned, he bribed the jailkeeper and got released. Raghunath Das Goswami, that example is given. His father and uncle got into some dispute with the tax collector. So he advised his father and uncle, you run away, I'll look after this. So the tax collector, he imprisoned Raghunath Das and he wanted to torture him, but to get the money. But Raghunath behaved with that tax collector in such a manner, saying that, well, actually, you're just like my father, and my father and my uncle, they're just like your brothers. So sometimes brothers fight. So why don't you all just come together and work it out? So he arranged a meeting and everything was sorted out. Like this. So he's very diplomatic in that regard. So we can study the lives of these great devotees. Srila Prabhupada said that even without accepting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if we simply study his pastimes, we can understand how devotees should live in this world and behave in this world. So that includes the pastimes of his great devotees, one of whom, Ramananda, and another, Prataparudra, are being discussed here in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So diplomacy, if it's for the sake of Krishna, yes, good. If not, not good. And that, of course, applies to everything. But even a quality which is generally thought to be not very good, diplomacy. There are professional diplomats. They work for the government of their country and they meet diplomats from other countries and they discuss and they try to work out. Each one tries to get the best deal for their own country. When diplomacy fails, then there are wars. And diplomats, they're often engaged in not only straight, well, sounds like a contradictory statement, oxymoron, straightforward diplomacy, but they also, they're in cahoots with the spies of their country, so often someone is officially, he's a diplomat in the embassy, the American embassy in India, but actually they may be a CIA agent, a spy. So that often happens. Once in Bangladesh, I happened to visit the British embassy, some work I had there, and for some reason they introduced me to someone who was obviously the head of intelligence because he was drunk, and he started telling me all these things which I didn't know and I shouldn't have known. So he was officially part of the diplomatic corps, but he was spearheading intelligence gathering operations, which is a fancy way of saying spying. So, I mean, he didn't tell me that, but it was quite, maybe he wasn't heading it up, but he was involved in that. He told me all those things, so many things that you didn't hear in the newspaper, how there'd been an army insurrection and they'd killed 40 officers and this and that and so many things. So, not recommended. Not a very good profession in this modern world. Is there any good profession? Live simply, chant Hare Krishna. Otherwise, the whole atmosphere is fraught with cunningness, duplicity. It's very difficult to live in the modern world without being duplicitous, because everyone else is duplicitous, and everyone's trying to squeeze as much as they can for themselves. So that's why it's good. That's yet another reason why we should establish these communities, simple living, high thinking, where we can live honestly, straightforwardly. We don't have to try to deceive others. There's no need to, and nothing can be gained from doing so anyway. What are you going to fight over? Potatoes? There's nothing to, if you live very simply, then there's nothing to be greedy about or to covet. So that's a better life. Hare Krishna. Anything? Question? Comment? If you don't know how to react straightforwardly or not straightforwardly, diplomatically.
Yeah, so what do you have to do then?
What to do in such a case? Well, you could leave it to someone else to deal with the issue, or generally, if you're not sure, then it's the general advice is to be cautious. But sometimes caution is not a good policy also. Sometimes strong action is required. Just like now, Russia have sent they send their troops into Ukraine. It was just, they didn't talk. They didn't go to diplomacy. They just send their troops in. So they could have talked and talked, but in the meantime, this is politics. I'm not talking one side or the other, but talking and talking, but in the meantime, they're territorial. It's practically it's an attack on their traditional territory, so they just went in. It may be the beginning of World War III. We don't know, but we'll see. If they wanted to talk and talk and talk, then in the meantime their enemies have come close to the door. So they took that action. And now if they talk, they're in a position of strength to speak from. This is politics. Diplomacy. I remember one devotee told me that it's like life in ISKCON. He gave some guidance, life in ISKCON. It's easier to be forgiven than to get permission. You do something, you know you won't get permission, so you just do it anyway. And then once you've done it, then okay, what can you do? Yeah. Doesn't always work, but that was his method of working. And actually for him it worked also. He started a project without any permission. And it's there. Still going on more than 20 years later. Some of my disciples do that also. They get divorced and they say, well, don't ask Guru Maharaj. Then afterward they say, he'll cool down after some time. I heard that through the back doors. He won't be happy, but anyway, after some time, he'll let it go. Because what can you do? It's already happened. That's not good. I don't like that. Okay, Hare Krishna.